Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministry with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to especially thank the Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, who allows me to come on each Saturday morning to share before them. They have a program which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their program is Turn on the Light Broadcast. That's Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. They're also the assistant pastors and Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where their leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is also the co-founder, and their senior pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. They have services every Sunday morning beginning at 9 a.m. with Sunday school. They also have worship service, which starts at 10 a.m. They have Bible studies every Wednesday. Every Wednesday at noon, they have Bible studies. Actually, you can call this number and listen to it live. And they also have Bible studies at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday evenings at their location. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. You can catch them on YouTube, on Facebook, and you can catch them live also on their website. It's comingtothelight.org. That's comingtothelight.org. Resurrection weekend. Glory to God. This is one of the most famous weekends in the world because it represents Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. A lot of people may say it represents Easter, but that's a whole other issue, whole other subject. But it's Resurrection Weekend. Glory to God. So before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song. Amen.
Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took for granted, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. The reckless love of God, meaning that he'll do anything just to save us. Hallelujah. No shadow he won't light up. Mountains he won't climb up. Coming after me. No walls he won't kick down. Lie he won't tear down. Coming after me. Glory to God. Oh, the never-ending, overwhelming, reckless love of God. How it chases men. Fight till I'm found. Say he leaves the 99 just to go after that one that has lost his way. That one that has strayed. That one that has backslid. That one that has turned their back on him. But because his reckless love for us, he leaves the 99 and goes after that one. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I was a one. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Bless your name, God. Hallelujah. Well, thank you once again for calling in. We're going to get into the word. Amen. We're going to be coming out of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 43rd chapter, verse 21. Isaiah 43 and 21. And it reads, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Let us pray. Father, thank you once again for allowing us to come into your presence, to sit at your feet, Father, to rest on your lap, to lay on your bosom, to hear your heartbeat, Father, to receive what you will have to say to us, to equip us, to prepare us, to make us ready, God, to go into the world and do what you called us to do. Give us instructions, Father. Give us direction. Give us strategies, Father. And Father, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to be the example, to live this life without sin, and to take our sin to the cross. Thank you, Father, for allowing him to take those sins to the grave. And thank you, Father, for raising him up on the third day with all power, giving us access to you, God, reconciling us back to yourself, God, reclaiming us as your sons and daughters. Thank you, Father. And then thank you for sending Holy Spirit, our comforter, our guide, our teacher, and thank you for you, for creating us, for making us and molding us, for calling us and choosing us, for adopting us into your family. And now, Father, as we receive your word, help us to apply to our lives, to make it personal, God, that we may glorify you in the things that we say and the things that we do. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Glory to God. I want to read that scripture again. I'm going to read it in the Message translation, the New Living Translation, and the Amplified Bible to help us get a better understanding of what he's saying. Isaiah 43rd chapter, verse 21, the Message translation reads, "The people I made especially for myself, a people custom made to praise me." He said he especially made this people for himself and custom made his people to praise him. New Living Translation says, "I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world. So this is who God is talking about when he says this people. He's talking about the nation of Israel. He said, I have made Israel for myself. And they, the Israelites, will someday honor me before the whole world. Said they will someday honor him. Why would he say that? Now, the Amplified Bible. And it reads, the people are formed for myself, that they may set forth my praise, and they shall do it. Sounds like a prophecy to me. Said, and they shall do it. But why is God saying that this people, this nation that he had specifically chosen for himself, said that they shall, not that they are, but they shall praise him. Well, let's look at it. The Jews, the Hebrews, or the Israelites, they are God's chosen people. Not were. A lot of people say were. But they are, still are, God's chosen people. As I was preparing for the message this morning, earlier this week, in my sleep, I woke up because I heard these numbers, 4, 3, 2, 1. And when I woke up, I said, Lord, what's that? 4, 3, 2, 1. And to me, it sounded like a countdown. But then, as I looked at the date for the message this morning, it's April the 3rd, 2021. And so when we write that date down, April is the fourth month. And today is the third day, and it's year 21. So I looked at that 4, 3, 2, 1. That just stuck out to me. And then I came down to look at the scriptures, and I said, well, maybe he's trying to say the 43rd chapter and the 21st verse. So I started looking, and I found Isaiah 43rd chapter, 21st verse, 4, 3, 2, 1. And it reads, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. So what God is saying is, my plan is still in place. My plan is still in place. The title of the message this morning is The Seed of God. The Seed of God. But the question, why would God say that they shall or they will honor me before the world, that they will set forth my praise. Let's go back to the 10th, Isaiah 43, verse 10. And it reads, ye are my witnesses. Talking to the Israelites. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have shown when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. So God is telling them that you are my people because I chose you. And there is no other God beside me. There is no other Savior beside me. And then he reminded them that you are my witnesses. You are to go and be a witness for me. We've all heard of today is Saturday. And I can remember as a kid, somebody knocking on your door that Saturday morning. And we all know who it is. So we don't go to the door, but we go to the window and peek out. And we see those who we call Jehovah's Witnesses. But God is saying to Israel, you are my witnesses. So they are the original Jehovah's Witness. You are to go and proclaim who I am. You are to go out and be the examples to tell people what I've done for you, how you were in bondage, how you were slaves, and I delivered you. This is why I chose you. This is why I chose you. I want to read a couple of footnotes. This footnote says, this is what God is saying to the Israelites. It says, I am the only true and eternal God, the first being, and I did not derive my existence from anyone else. Meaning he didn't come from anybody. He doesn't have a mother nor a father. He exists because he is. He told Moses, tell them that I am that I am. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. Alpha and Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He says, I have not succeeded another, and my kingdom is the original, underived, and independent one. No one will ever succeed me on my throne. Now, understand, God is a jealous God. Yes, he's almighty. He's all loving. But he's also jealous because the very first commandment that he gave him was, thou shalt have no other God before me. That's number one. And then thou shalt make no graven image. He's a jealous God. Then he goes on to say, I am Jehovah. That means God all by myself. The all-sufficient one. And beside me, there is no savior. I have demonstrated by predictions, salvation, and miracles that I am God, and you are my witnesses. Everything that he did for them, how he saved them, how he delivered them, how he supplied for them, how he protected them, how he sustained them. Let me read another one. It says, the Jews were Jehovah's witnesses and his servants whom he had chosen. They were cut off from being the peculiar people of God when they rejected their Messiah. And now the Gentiles have this place as a people. I want to say this. The Gentiles are anybody who is not a Jew. That's what a Gentile is. Anybody who is not a Jew. But the Gentiles took the place of the Jews, but they did not replace the Jews. That's what a lot of people believe that the church, the Gentile church, has replaced the Jews. No. Took the place because God chose them. And because they rejected him, because they rejected Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that's where his grace came in and offered the gift of salvation to the Gentiles. Because Jesus came for the Jews. But because they rejected him, God opened it up. He offered it to the Gentiles. That's why it says we've been adopted into the family of God. And the reason I want to say is the Jews will be received again at the second advent of Christ. This is not the return of Christ when Jesus comes back and we're raptured up. This is talking about after the millennium, when we all return with him. says they will become witnesses of Jehovah again and will literally evangelize the nations in the millennium. See, this is what would be going on. Once the rapture happens and the Gentiles that have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, once that happens, then the blinded eye of the Jews, those who haven't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because there are many that have. But those who have not, they will realize and finally understand who Jesus really is. And they would accept him as their Lord and Savior. And then they will become Jehovah's Witnesses. It says in Revelation, 144,000 will be sharing the message of salvation. So the plan of God is still in place. The seed of God, we're talking about the seed of God. Let's go to Jeremiah 3rd chapter. We all heard God is married to the backslider. Jeremiah 3rd chapter, starting at verse 14. It says, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you." This is where it came from. "And I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall they be done anymore. Neither shall that be done anymore." What he's saying is, no longer shall you live according to the law, to the ordinances because that's how the Jews live now, according to the laws that were given to Moses, i.e. Ten Commandments, plus it's over 600 laws that the Jews are trying, I say trying, to follow. But the main thing is that most of them don't follow Jesus. But it says that this way of living will be done no more It won't even cross your mind. Verse 17 says, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. Because at that time, Jerusalem will be the capital of the Lord, and all nations will come there to worship him. Now, remember, all of this is prophecy. So what we see going on in the world is not happenstance, is not coincidence. It's happening because God said it was going to happen. It says, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers, even in the nation of Israel. There's fighting. There's division. The chosen people of God. But God says, there is going to be a day where the whole nation of Israel will be as one. No fighting, no division. No separation. Let's go to Hosea, first chapter. Talking about the seed of God. The seed of God. Hosea is right after Daniel. Hosea 1, we're going to start at verse 1. It says, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Now, Jezreel means the seed of God, or God sows. Now let's picture this. It says, God told Hosea to go in the land where there's great whoredom, and get you a wife who is a whore. Now we have to look at this spiritually, not naturally. So Hosea was on a specific mission of obedience. That's where it says, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Let not man separate. Only God could cause this union. Because his word also says for us to not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. But remember, God has a plan. And his plan for this union was for them to reproduce a seed named Jezreel, the seed of God. And so from that seed, God will sow other seeds into the world. Let's turn to chapter 2. Start at verse 19. And it reads, and in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. So just as Hosea married Gomer the second time, after she learned her lesson regarding being true to her husband. So the same would happen to Israel regarding her relationship with Jehovah. God will marry Israel again and betroth her to himself forever in righteousness and faithfulness. Verse 19 says, and I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercy. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord. I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And they shall hear Jezreel. Meaning that the people of Israel will be sharing the gospel, will be spraying the seeds of salvation. Verse 23 says, I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, and I will say to them which were not my people. This is another prophecy. Thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. See, this pictures the sowing of Israel as a plant of God's own in the earth. indicating their restoration. And this is why the word Jezreel, the seed of God, which he will sow, is used. God still has his plan in place. The seed of God. Let's turn to Matthew 21st chapter. Starting at verse 33. And it reads, this is Jesus speaking. It says, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servant and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. They beat the other servants and they killed them and they stoned the other servants, but I'm going to send my son, my seed, because he said, they will reverence my son. They will reverence my seed, they will accept him. Verse 38 says, but when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. So they recognized that. This is the heir. This is the son. Come, let us kill him. And let us seize on his inheritance. So, see, this is the evil thinking. This is the wicked thoughts of those who have been tricked and deceived and manipulated by Satan. And it says they call him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what would he do unto those husbandmen? And this is the answer of what they said. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruit thereof. See, Jesus is talking to the Jews. And he's laying out the plan. He's prophesying to them that I am the son. I am the heir. God has personally sent me to you. But because you will reject me, the kingdom, your inheritance will be taken away and given to a nation that will bring forth the fruits. So Jesus had told them what would happen. Now let's go to that's why I said the Gentile took the place of the Jews, but did not replace them. Let's turn to Romans 11 chapter right quick. Romans 11, starting at verse 4. Starting at verse 1. Romans 11 and 1. And it reads, I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. See, this is someone who is speaking with understanding. This is Paul speaking. And he says, God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What ye not what the scripture said of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. This is talking about Elijah. After he had performed the miracle, they built an altar. Elijah built an altar, and the prophets of Baal built the altar. And so Elijah challenged them and said, tell your God to perform this miracle, to cause fire to come down from heaven. And it even got to the point where he started teasing, asking me, is he asleep? Is your God asleep? Does he hear you? And then when he called on his God, it said he even built a trench around the altar and filled it with water and then drenched it, the altar, with water so it was soaking wet. Then he prayed to Almighty God that fire would come down from heaven, and it consumed that altar. That is one of the greatest miracles and the greatest victories in the Bible. Well, after that, Ahaz, the king at the time, went to his wife named Jezebel and shared what had happened. She sent people after Elijah, and Elijah was running, hiding in fear of Jezebel. And so he got to a place where he cried out to God and said, God, they seek my life. I'm left alone. And then verse 4 here says, but what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So God is saying, you're not alone. I prepare a people that have already been chosen. So we're not alone. God has prepared a people which have already been chosen. So what shall we be doing? We shall be praying for the peace of Israel. We shall be praying for their deliverance. We shall be praying for their salvation because 4, 3, 2, 1. Time is counting down for the seed of God to come into the kingdom again. Chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people, people that was not considered a people, but now are the people of God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for opening up, for allowing us. Thank you for your grace, Father, for offering salvation to us because your chosen people initially rejected your son Jesus. Thank you for adopting us into your family, Father, for calling us your own, your sons and your daughters, your children. And now, Father, we stand in the place, but we do not replace your chosen. For we are praying and expecting for their return. And we know that time is running out. We thank you and we praise you just for who you are. Thank you for this time of resurrection to remind us of why we were born into this world, to receive your son Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and to share the message of salvation so that others may be saved. We thank you and we praise you for calling us your seed. Now sow us into the world that others may receive your word and come into the kingdom as your children. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. The seed of God, you specifically and purposefully have been planted to share the message of salvation. Go and sow. Love you. Talk to you next week. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministry with Brother Norman Woodard. God bless you.